And he is risen. Amen. I got to get back into the rhythm of things. I usually start off with that. But indeed, our Savior, our Lord, has risen. He has risen. He's alive. He's not dead. And you can see the spirit of him in the worship this morning and how we were not holding anything back this morning. Not at all. This is this weekend we celebrate Memorial Day. Tomorrow will be Memorial Day. I must say that probably of the holidays that tugs at my heart. I think maybe it's because of my background in the military, and that doesn't exclude anyone who wasn't in the military, but I think if you served, to know that this day, that over 626,000 people, men and women, since World War I have given their life for the protection of this country. I mean, even since year to date, this year. A person in Operation Freedom that's going on right now, a service person has lost their life every day. The only day that, if to average it out, the only day that a person hasn't lost their life is on a Sunday. If you're to, but every day since January 1st, a serviceman or woman has laid down their life so that we could meet here today. Tomorrow, across our country, there will be people revisiting burial sites. As I was looking on social media, some of the pictures are already up, where you see family members at the tombstones. Visiting their loved ones, some just little kids dressed up in their parents' uniform. I think for me to see a little 5-year-old dressed in the Marine Corps dress blues, knowing that's that legacy of their dad, whose life was offered up in Afghanistan, kind of, for me, it tugs at my heart. Tuesday, there'll be the flowers everywhere. After people have left, there'll be flowers everywhere at headstones, because of the person buried there is being remembered. We look at the definition of memorial according to dictionary.com. It says, quote, something designed to preserve the memory of a person or event. This morning, as we gather for worship, we remember the sacrifice of the soldier and of the airman, of the sailor, of the marine, the Coast Guard person. It's because of these men and women who gave their lives on a field of battle that we are able to meet here today to worship our God as we choose and to live in a wonderful country. And I say that with my chest swollen up. There's some things that are going awry, but I tell you, this is still a great country. In my opinion, one that might be shared with others is that there is a tremendous flaw in this nation. We are, seems to be one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Did you notice that I missed something? Did you notice what I missed?
We live in a country where close to 80% of the Americans identify themselves as Christians. However, if one claims to be a Christian, would turn to the news or look at the newspaper, those who still do that, they would find themselves asking this question: if 80% of those who reside here in the United States are Christians, why are we not one nation under God? Why is that? We live in a nation that was founded on the principles so that we could worship our God. God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Spirit. We can worship them as we please with little to no persecution. Listen to me, church. One nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all, is not possible except being under God. One nation under God. The late President Ronald Reagan said, if we ever forget that we are one nation under God, we will be a nation that has gone under. It's ironic to me that people in this day and age, they're wanting to cut out things like, you know, the Ten Commandments. They don't want that in the courtrooms and in the courthouses. They don't want our children to be able to pray there in the classrooms. And although I pride this community in this community to know that that does take place, that there is a place, I know at least at one high school, where they are permitted, Christian young men and women are permitted during their lunch hour to take a classroom, to occupy a classroom, and open up God's Word and do a study. I am so happy to live here in Palmer, where that can happen, where students, student-led, can worship our Heavenly Father. It's not like that everywhere in the United States. But those who don't want it to happen, who are against all of that, who want Christian radio stations not to be aired, they have a big beef with it, but yet they have no problem in spending that dollar that says, in God we trust on it. I don't know. Here in the United States, we have the freedom to disagree with people of other faith or no faith at all. To disagree with people who think and live differently than we do. To agree, to come, to meet like this. We have the right to jump in our automobiles and drive 3,000 miles across country. We have the freedom to jump into a plane, fly across. We have the freedom, even if you want, to jump out of a plane. Well, not everybody. We have the right to the freedom to send our kids to private school, to public school, or just to say, hey, we're going to homeschool our kids. We have that freedom. I think that's a freedom that some parents are willing to give up after this COVID-19. Like we're sending our kids back to school with masks and everything else. But there's something precious about that homeschool. But we have these and other countless freedoms because of the sacrifices that our American troops. Today, along with families, those who have lost their loved ones, we want to pay honor. We want to give honor to them. And in this verse that probably resonates the most with me, I've got to say, in probably one of the first
everybody knows John 3:16, but I think the one that resonates with me is that this one that says, is found in John 15:13. It says, greater love has no one than this, that one, that someone would lay down his life for his friend. It's just not a verse to me. That someone would lay down their life for a friend. Jesus is our friend. Father in heaven, this morning we want to honor those men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice in laying down their lives so that we could have the lifestyle here in the United States. Those who have laid down their lives to protect and defend the Constitution of the United States and help to protect those who could not help themselves. Father, I ask that you would guide my words this morning, that indeed that they would come from my heart. In your name I pray. Amen. It's extremely important for us as Christians here in America to know and understand the freedom, to have that freedom and forgiveness, and to know that freedom is not free. That freedom comes at a cost. Today, I want to show in scripture similarities, okay? And hear me, similarities of these American men and women, these soldiers, and the similarity of them and the death of Jesus Christ. The sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice that is made on both parties. And so first, the first one is they died following orders, all right? The first point. In Luke 22:42, it says, we find Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he says these words in Luke. He says, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was a result of him obeying his Father. We see here in the Garden of Gethsemane, just hours before he was to be betrayed by Judas Iscariot, and just 8 verses down from where I just read, that Judas would betray him with a kiss. Oh, man. It's the only place in the Gospels where that is said, that where that takes place, where it's said that Judas betrays Jesus, but only in Luke does it say he was betrayed with a kiss. I think it should be in all the Gospels. If I had the power to rewrite it, I'd make sure it was in every single one, because I'm like, come on. You would betray him? Jesus, oh, hey, how you doing? Get him, boys. That's the guy. That's, oh, man. Jesus had been petitioned by God the Father to see if what was possible for Jesus to not go to the cross. He was saying, if I don't have to go, if you'll take this from me, but Jesus, he submitted to the will of his Father. Similarly, all those across the nation where there are tombs of those who gave their lives to complete the mission, that's what it's about. Those who have been in the military, it's about completing the mission. That's number one, completing the mission.
That's what their commanding officers were telling them when they were on the battlefield. We've got to complete the mission, y'all. And although no one from Washington was belting out these orders, and not from the Pentagon, the troops who stormed the beaches of Normandy with a target on their chest, for one to lay down their life for an IED, to sacrifice themselves by a live grenade to save the lives of other ones, of others, to stand in the way, to stand in harm's way. And God the Father does not wear any stars on his uniform. And Jesus didn't go through basic training or didn't stand on the yellow footprints. However, the Father's will is what Jesus submitted to and ultimately led to his death on the cross. Okay, but he didn't die there. Okay, he died there. I'm just letting you know. The story continues. He lives. The American soldier, Marine, airman, sailor, Coast Guard's person who was given their life was given an effort to accomplish the task given to them. Defend freedom. Number two, they died voluntarily. Luke 2:32-39 reads, two others were criminals, were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him some sour wine. Verse 37, and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. Okay. Three times in that text, I don't know if I accentuated it enough or I didn't stamp my foot, all right, like they do in school when something important you need to take down notes, all right? You notice the three times in those eight passages the word saved was used? Like, save yourself. Verse 35, he said to others, let him save himself. Verse 37, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. And in verse 39, one of the criminals who were hanged railed him, saying, are you not the Christ? If you're the Christ, save yourself and save us too. Three times Jesus was challenged to come off the cross and prove that he was indeed the Christ, the Son of God. That's not what Jesus did, though. He knew he would prove it upon his death. But even more so, his resurrection from the dead. The three times was presented the opportunity for him to escape. He's like, you know what? I am who I am. Hey, forget this. See you guys later. I know you're guilty, you're not, but I'm not doing this. He didn't do that. He stayed on the cross voluntarily. No one forced him to stay. He chose to stay there. On the cross, he bore
our sins. He took the punishment for our sins. He knew that he was the only way. He knew that he was the only way for us to have life eternal. Sins that we committed. He never did anything wrong. He knew he would raise from the dead and defeat sin. He knew that he would defeat death. He'd defeat Satan. You could tell that, just that defeat, as we worship this morning, as we sung our praises. We're not singing to a dead God. We're singing to a risen Savior. Just as Jesus volunteered for the cross, the American soldier volunteered for service. And I understand that many people during the Vietnam era, they were drafted. Not all of them came voluntarily, but as you look at the other conflicts, when you look at World War I, when you look at World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, Iraq, Afghanistan, those who served chose to serve. They volunteered. And by choosing to serve, they knew that one day that they might have to pay the ultimate sacrifice, so that way we could have the freedoms that we have today. They knew that one day maybe their coffin would be draped with the American flag on top of it, and that someone in the distance would be playing the bugle, would be playing taps. They chose the possibility of giving their life for something greater than themselves, allowing us to continue to have the freedoms that we have today. I say to you, church, please, please don't take that lightly. I'd ask that tomorrow, I know that everybody's like, hey, we got a 3-day weekend, woohoo! But I'd ask that you would think about why you have the 3-day weekend. Think about that. I mean, just if anything, tomorrow would, before you light up the grill, before you pitch a tent, before you take a bite of the Jell-O mold out of the Jell-O mold. Just stop and say, you know what, family? We're just going to thank those who paid the ultimate sacrifice. We're just going to have a silent moment. I'm asking you, would you do that tomorrow? Lastly, they died for a purpose. John 10:10 reads, it says, I have come, that latter part of that verse says, I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. And I want to on that phrase right there, have life and have it more abundantly. Jesus came to this earth with a purpose. He came in the flesh. He hung out with us for that reason, so that we could have life eternal. He knew his entire life, every day that he walked this rock that he created, he walked it knowing that one day, I'm walking it, I'm alive here, knowing that one day I'm going to die. From the very beginning, it was no mystery to him. He came with a purpose. He knew what his purpose was. He came to earth not to be like the most famous guy. He didn't come to have his name up in the marquee. He didn't come here to so he have his name in lights.
He came to this earth to give us life that we may have it more abundant. Have life abundant, not only here, to have an abundant life here. That's cool, right? That's great. To have an abundant life. We have that abundant life because he gave it to us, afforded himself to where we can have abundant life here on this rock. But only not only that, but have abundant life eternal. Forever and ever and ever. The American men and women who have sworn an oath to protect and defend this country did so not that their husbands and wives and mothers and fathers, brothers or children may receive that folded striped cloth with the stars on it. I know that no one family, when seated on the front row, when given that flag folded up in a tri-fold, that wasn't the purpose. So they could get that flag. I think I've seen too many of those. I know that those families, that they were humbled. They just didn't have that flag to hang up in their living room as some sort of design or decoration. I know that their purpose was not a selfish one or self-centered. It wasn't about saying, hey, I got to shoot my weapon or I got to fly a plane. Their purpose was to defend you and me, to protect us. Protect us and our families. These brave men and women and heroes, every tomb in Arlington and other national cemeteries across the country and in Europe and in Japan tells a story of the life and death of a hero. That's where the heroes are at. Every tomb is a symbol and proof that freedom is never free. Every cross that you see is proof that forgiveness is not free. This Memorial Day, pray for those who are serving and for their families of those who gave it all. Honor them and remember them. I'm going to share this letter that was written by a man by the name of Tom Manilium. And this letter was written back in 2011. This letter was written. And I came across this letter and I want to share this. I served in the military for 30 years, but it was impossible to fully understand the sacrifices of our troops and their families until April the 29th, 2007. the day my son, First Lieutenant Travis, was killed in Iraq. Travis was just 26 years old when an enemy sniper bullet pierced his heart after he had just helped save two wounded comrades. Even though our family knew the risks of Travis fighting on the violent streets of Fallujah, being notified of his death on a warm Sunday, Dolestown, Pennsylvania, was the worst moment of our lives. While my son's life was relatively short, I spent every day marveling at his courage and wisdom. Before his second and final combat deployment, Travis said he wanted to go back to Iraq in order to spare a less experienced Marine who was going in place. His words, "If not me, then who will continue to inspire?" My son is one of thousands to die in combat since the terrorist attacks in 2011. Because of their sacrifices, as well as the heroism of previous generations, Memorial Day 2012 should have tremendous importance to our entire nation, with impact stretching far beyond one day of the calendar. In Afghanistan, tens of thousands of American troops continue to sweat, fight, and bleed. In April alone, 35 troops were killed there, including this Captain Nick, this Army Captain Rosewick, 36, who made the difficult decision to leave his wife and children to serve our country overseas. My brother didn't necessarily have to go to Afghanistan. Specialist Alex Rodzinski, Nick's younger brother and fellow Ohio National Guard soldier, said he chose to because he felt an obligation. Sergeant Devin Snyder loved being a girly girl, wearing her heels and carrying her purse, according to her mother, Delene Snyder. But Sergeant Snyder, 20, also took it upon herself to put on an Army uniform and serve in the mountains of northeastern Afghanistan as a military police officer. She was killed by an enemy roadside bomb alongside three fellow soldiers and a civilian contractor on June the 4th, 2011. Air Force Tech Sergeant Daniel DeVoe was an EOD, Explosive Ordnance Disposal Technician, doing an incredible, dangerous job. What most would say, person in a heart locker. He was a loving husband and father of three children. He was my best friend, his wife said. He was a good person. He was killed in June 26, 2011, an explosion in Afghanistan where the fiercest fighting was being taken place. When my son died in Iraq, his U.S. Naval Academy roommate, Brendan Looney, was in the middle of BUDS, which is basic underwater demolitions, training to be a Navy SEAL. Devastated by his good friend's death, Brendan called us to in anguish, telling my wife and me that losing Travis was much too much for him. It's hard for him to try to handle during this grueling regimented training that he was going through. Lieutenant Brendan Looney overcame his grief and became the honor man of his class. And he served in Iraq before deploying to Afghanistan. On September 21st, 2010, after completing 58 combat missions, this lieutenant died with eight fellow warriors in a helicopter crash. He was 29. Brennan and Travis now rest side by side in section 60 in Arlington ceremony, Arlington National Cemetery. The friendship between First Lieutenant Travis and Lieutenant Brennan reflect the meaning of Memorial Day. Brotherhood, sacrifice, love of country. But the essence of our country, which makes me even prouder than what could be said by our president to the families, even more than a decade of war, these remarkable men and women are still stepping forward. This writer says that as a father of a fallen Marine, I hope Americans will treat this Memorial Day as more than a time for pool that the pool is open, for barbecues, for the holiday from work. It should be a solemn day to remember heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice, and also a stark reminder that our country is still at war. For all these servicemen and thousands more like us, every day is a Memorial Day. If the rest of the nation joins us to renew the spirit of patriotism, service, and sacrifice, perhaps America can reunite on this day of reverence around men and women who risk their lives to defend it. One nation under God. Shall we pray? Father God, we know that sending your son, that was the ultimate sacrifice. But there's a joy in knowing that your son lives. And we know that in the lives of the moms and dads, the brothers and sisters, relatives, that those who sacrifice their lives so that we can have the freedoms that we have today, they are alive in us. And Father, I know it's incumbent upon us to keep them alive and never forget their sacrifice. We never forget the sacrifice you made. We thank you for your love, that precious love that's untouchable, that's unfathomable. In your name I pray. Amen.